Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Trump has picked some folks to be in his cabinet to be running stuff. Who are they? What are they about? Blardy, blardy, blar. Let's see here. Unveiled Friday were nominations of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, Kansas Republican Mike Pompeo as CIA Director, and retired Army Lieutenant General Michael Flynn as National Security Advisor, of which we broke the news to you yesterday. All three men have an uncompromising approach to national security and differ sharply from Obama administration's doctrine. The trio indicate that Trump intends to stand by some of his more controversial national security positions from his campaign rather than... First of all, if you say, Chad, why are you making fun of politics and stuff like this? Because none of you could pick these three people out of a lineup. Secondly, because I don't care. Not that I don't care about the politics of it all. Not that I don't care about any of those things, but it's Friday and I just don't care. We've talked about it ad nauseum. He settled his lawsuit today for $25 million. What do you think of that map? What you think of them apples? Why don't I care more about politics? I don't know. I'm trying to. The thing is, I do love politics. I love politics, but I just think most people don't. I've still yet to, you know, when Trump was running for president, and even when he became, it was the shock and awe of the whole thing that was happening. You know what I mean? It was oh my God, I can't believe he did it. He used to be this. He used to be, oh, he was a reality show host. He was a billionaire. It was blur. But, you know, until it happens, I mean, you know, we're just going to sit back and let the, you know, them argue over the next couple of months. And watching, by the way, watching all of the talking heads just run around and talk about this stuff is, that to me is as much fun as anything else. Because that makes me laugh. It's hilarious. It's both hilarious and hijinky. Oh, hilarious hijinks? Yes, of course it is. So these are the people that are going to be part of a new hardline agenda of which he's campaigned. So a lot of people are still wondering, and I'm going to say this right now. By the way, did you see Hillary? Man, did she just not look... I think she was at the Children's Defense Fund. It's the first time anybody's seen her in public, really, since the night of. And you could tell it is still weighing on her. You know, I mean, it's not only did you lose, you also come to the realization that it's over, right? Like that it's over. You're not running in 4 years. It's over. The history making to be the first one. It's over. But a lot of people are wondering, are they going to go after her? Are they going to chase her? Are they going to? No, no. I speak for the American people. Can we just move on? Can we just move on from the whole Hillary Clinton and the Clintons? I mean, it's bad enough we're going to deal with Chelsea here in about 5 or 10 years running for senator and then eventually running for president of the United States. But can we just make a move and move to something else? That's what a lot of people are wondering about with, you know, with Jeff Sessions. Again, you don't know who he is. He's from Alabama. He was the first one in February of this year to get on the Trump train as far as any of the sitting senators. And, you know, and Pompeo, are they gonna break it down and really go, you know, go after her or not? I hope not. Just move on. It's the best thing to do. Just move on. That's it. Simple as that. There's no reason for us to do anything other than that. Zero reason. I don't know. I really don't know. I just sit there and I laugh because I sit here and I start to see the, you know, these people that are just, they're clamoring to, you know, to put her in shackles. And I'm just at the point now, it's like at some point in time, let's just let it go and move on with what we want to do. And I hope Trump does that. But that's the politics you're going to get from me tonight. That really is. I just don't know how people do it. I couldn't talk about it all the time. I can't. I mean, you know, I love to watch it, but it's just, it's, You know, I've done some of those things where, hey, can you fill in today and, you know, sit here and, you know, let these talking heads ask you a question. You'd be a political pundit. And I'm like, okay, what do you think about this? I'm like, I like bubbles. Chad, you're a jerk. You're an
No, that was funny.
I know, right? And they were like, oh, my God, he's not being serious. This guy is totally being unserious. Chad, he used to be serious about this stuff.
Screw you. That was funny.
Thank you very much, sir. America apparently is great again. Ford is not leaving to go to Mexico, but there's a good chance they were never leaving to go to Mexico. But they had talked about going to Mexico to build small cars there. And then everybody's like, they're taking their jobs and they're leaving. And as I explained to everybody, they weren't taking the jobs and leaving. They were going to build cars down there, small cars, open up a new plant potentially. And at the same time, the people that were working on the small cars now were going to build other things. So they're not going anywhere. And that was decided a while ago, but Trump is saying, it's me. I did it. It's me. I saved the world. Union is excited. The UAW, that's United Auto Workers. They're excited. But this is stuff you'll see. And people will talk about this like, oh, he did it. He didn't do it. Not that they're not talking. By the way, Ford has said, and they have come out and they said that they're interested, as are all the other companies, about the potential of what this new administration is going to bring. The potential of what may be something exciting. I don't know if it's not or not, but I just found it interesting. And even Phil, you talked about it as well, that, you know, this was done and dusted a while ago, but it wasn't announced until then. And people are like, it's Trump's the reason he did it. Maybe it was. Maybe they thought, you know what? He may win this thing. So let's hold off, because some of the stuff he's saying, we could get into this. This could be good for us. And maybe they made the decision, but I'm thinking no. But people will run, and I'll get the hate mail, and I'm okay with that. 323-538-2423. It's simple and easy. You can send that. Did you see that the Japanese prime minister met with Trump, and he's like, yeah, I like this guy. I can get along with him. We'll be fine. I'm telling you guys, I bet he's a good time. You know that here's some non-political stuff about Trump. He sleeps like 4 hours a night, 3-4 hours. Awesome people like us do. Here's another awesome thing that people like us do. You know, he's never had an adult beverage. Not a drinker. Doesn't smoke. Interesting. Very interesting. Us awesome people are like that. Yeah, I can get along with him. I can get along with him. We can do it. We can get along with him. I think you can get along with him. Can you get along with him? I can get along with him. But he's a businessman. Just let him be businessy. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes for sure. And he settled his $25 million lawsuit with his Trump. Was it Trump University? Is that what they called it?
That's what it was.
That was a real estate thing. $25 million settled. I always laugh because they do these class action lawsuits, and I'm sure everybody out there has gotten a check for like 18 cents. Like, nobody gets rich off of it. Nobody gets anything back that they spent on. All you get is to be named in something. And you get a 18-cent check written on a, you know, a 50-cent piece of paper sent by a dollar stamp. And the lawyers, you know, they go, oh, we won $480 million. You get $100 million, and you get $100 million. And then we'll split it up, arrest the $100 million with the $100 million people that sued.
I'm still waiting for my $5 check from Intel.
Yeah. Damn, Intel. You know who you are, Intel. You know what you're about. I'm telling you. You know what else I'm telling you, folks? Oh, bring it, Brother Chad. Bring it, Brother Chad. Look, blood flow, importante. Oh, Brother Chad, it is importante. Health concerns, because I'm concerned about your health. Oh, Brother Chad, I'm concerned too. Look, circulation is extremely critical, especially as we get older in life. Longer in the tooth, as they say. Now, there's a natural way. I call it Super Beats. That is amazing. I call it Super Beats. And tasty. I call it Super Beats. It's a natural way for you to get a lot of this great stuff, this circulation, this energy, this stamina. I call it Super Beats. And it's an easy way for you to get it inside your body. Let me tell you, it's Super Beats. Now, the easiest way to do it is to take one scoop, throw in some water, maybe a smoothie or even yogurt if you want to. And Super Beats will take care of the rest. It'll give you energy, stamina. It will help you support healthy circulation and healthy blood pressure levels. Bam! Booyakah! Woohoo! Bam! That's what Super Beets does, kids. It works three times faster to give you the results you can feel. Plus, it tastes great. And if you don't believe me, take it from a satisfied customer by the name of Phil.
Absolutely. I'm back to drinking no coffee. I had a couple cups the other day. Again, man, jittery. I mean, I'm just really shaken after my third cup. I'm like, and I'm not used to that. You know, take Super Beets. Don't have that problem. I don't have the crash afterwards, because if I drink a lot of coffee, I'll crash about 2 hours later. It's like, oh my God, I need a nap. But not with Super Beets. No, take it. Tastes great and no crash, and it's just a wonderful thing.
Preach it, Brother Phil. Preach it. Get a 30-day supply with your first order. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips. Chad, what do those do? Well, you know, it's funny that you asked, Chad. They make sure it's working inside your body. So you take the Super Beets, use them before and after, and you're like, bam, it's working. Well, Chad, thanks for clearing that up. I appreciate that. Plus, get the book called Beat the Odds, absolutely free. And the shipping to you is free as well. But this is the part that I love. You love? I love. It's guaranteed your money back. Go to ChadBeets.com. That's ChadBeets.com or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. This stuff works. Go to ChadBeets.com. Order today or call them at 800-561-2677 and say, Chad told me this stuff's delicious and great. Oh, it is. It absolutely is. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
That's me, kids and kittens. Teachers have a tough job. I get that very much so. Police officers have a tough job. When a policeman does something wrong, or a policewoman, or a police person, don't want to offend anybody, does something, we are like freaking out. We call them racist, and they're horrible human beings, and not really understanding what a day in their life is like and how much stuff they've been through. We just automatically think the reason they joined the police is because law enforcement is because they want to be racist and they want uniforms to do it. Teachers have a tough job too. And sometimes those jobs can be frustrating. And sometimes we say and do things that we wouldn't have ever said. But we have been pushed to the brink. And lo and behold, out comes something. Teacher in Baltimore, Harlem Middle School and Elementary School, eighth grade science teacher, second year. She, while making some good points in her frustration, loses the plot and drops the N-bomb or a racial slur or a bad word. And, of course, nowadays you can't do anything in this world without somebody pulling out a camera, and you have a bunch of kids sitting there, mostly of color, who pull out their cameras. They film it. It's been seen by over 2 million people. She has since been relieved of said duties. Take a listen to this.
Get out of my class! Get out of my class! Get out of my class! Get out of my class, then!
Yeah, you can't do that. That's something you can't do. Look, I don't condone her actions. Quite frankly, what she said was you can't say that. You can't say that. I don't think we need to sit here and go, oh, you can't say we get it. We get it, right? You know, I don't need to preface everything. You know, you shouldn't hit women. I don't condone what he did, but come on. We're adults here. Let's act like adults. But I understand her frustration. I think that was more words of frustration. I don't know what's in her heart. Maybe she feels that way. Maybe she's the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. I doubt it. Would it be Wizardress? Would it be Grand Witch? I don't know. But I understand. We've all been pushed to that point in our life where we've lost it and we've said things we regret. By the way, these are like, you know, 13, 14-year-old kids who who listen to, I'm sure, much of the music nowadays tends to drop the N-bomb on numerous occasions within the song. So I don't think they were really frightened by the word. Like, I've never heard that word before in my life. That wasn't it. It was shock that she said it. That's what it was. Like, oh, my God. But that was it. But she did say some stuff that was real. You know, she's talking about education, right? She's talking about education and talking about your punk ass. Your punk ass is going to get shot out there. You bitch about education. You got a great education in here. Her frustration, because chances are the kids weren't listening. We won't talk about maybe the kids had a part to play in pushing her over the edge. We'll never talk about that. Because, again, once you cross that line, use the racial slur, you've lost that. You've lost any kind of high ground that you can come down on people on and say, whoa, 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 whoa. But we've all been pushed to those places. Every one of us. Some of us, it's glaring and large, and it's out there for the world to see. Remember Alec Baldwin? Right? Remember, we've all been pushed to places, every one of us. We're human beings. We're not robots, right? We haven't been created in a lab. We do stuff, and we say stuff that's wrong. And in the heat of a moment, whether it be a sporting event, an argument with a mother, a father, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your brother, your sister, or even friends or other, we will at times say things. And I think she was pushed to the edge. And it's cost her job. And there's no doubt, you know what? That's the right thing to do. But in saying that, we've always got to take a step back and realize there's always more to a story than this lady's just a racist. What she said doesn't make her a racist. Poor choice of words, horrible thing to say, frustration, probably doesn't have the mental stamina, if you will, or maybe even the fortitude to be a teacher. But in saying all of that, before we lambast her, let's just take a deep breath and realize every one of us has been pushed to that point sometime in our life. Reality TV pays a lot of money, but it's also disgusting at times. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
We love TV. We become obsessed with it. We watch it the way we want, when we want. I love TV. Don't watch it as much as I think a lot of people think. You guys watch TV? Oh, no. You know, I watch news, but I don't watch a ton of TV. I watch a lot of sports. One thing I don't watch, though, is reality television. Well, sports is the greatest reality TV, but I don't watch reality TV. I don't watch the Kardashians. I don't watch the Little People Small World. I don't watch Little People Here. I don't watch, you know, anything like that, you know, any of those shows. Million Dollar Home, Let's Build This House, House Here. I watch none of that stuff. I don't. We watch it because we like to watch other people struggle. Let's be real. We love to watch other people struggle, and we love to watch people that we think, ooh, I like their life, but ooh, their life isn't as good as my life. And you know, that's why I watch shows like Addiction, and we watch shows like, you know, Intervention and all of those things. We do. The first reality shows I can really remember that took off were the MTV shows. Right? You know, they stuck everybody in a house. Like, that, those to me were like the first reality shows that of the new breed of reality shows. And then slowly but surely, everybody got on board. We as Americans have to take blame for this. Dr. Phil today had Shelley Duvall on. She was once a fairly accomplished actress. She starred in The Shining with Jack Nicholson. She starred in Popeye with Robin Williams and was in several other major motion pictures. She was a legitimate star. a legitimate star. She was on today with Dr. Phil because she's kind of, since 2002, she hasn't done anything. She's kind of dropped off the face of the earth. And you ever go to, you're on the internet and you'll see a picture of somebody with like no teeth, or you should be amazed at what this star looks like today. And they'll show a really pretty picture of somebody from like, you know, like Baywatch, who was gorgeous. And then they have somebody who was 400 pounds next to it, also in a red bathing suit. And you laugh. That was the kind of shock that I think a lot of people saw today with Shelley Duvall. And producer Phil, you've seen the pictures of Shelley. You wouldn't recognize her.
No, she did not look like the Shelley Duvall that I know.
Shelley Duvall looked like olive oil. She did. She is battling mental illness. And we as a nation have decided, hey, it's great to watch this on TV because it isn't me. And, you know, we touched on a bit earlier. Somebody texted in and said, you know, Chad, it's also Dr. Phil's fault. I said, we can agree to disagree on this. I mean, of course, yes, you took an oath and you shouldn't be doing stuff like this. But as a doctor, you probably shouldn't be on TV anyways, giving this, you know, wackadoodle advice, you know, in a 60-minute, you know, show Monday through Friday, trying to help people. And I understand you can say, look, we're helping the, you know, by getting this out, it helps a greater amount of people. Okay, fine. There maybe can be some argument with that. But for all intents and purposes, it's not Dr. Phil's fault. It's not. It's not Dr. Strange, Dr. Zhivago's, Doogie Howser, MD. It's America's fault because we love this stuff. We eat it up. If I tell you tonight there is going to be a train crash and it can't be stopped and they're going to film it, people will watch it.
Heck, I'm going out there.
Yeah, we were just watching or just talking about a teacher that lost her mind momentarily and screams some obscenities and some racial epithet at kids in the inner city. And guess what, kids? It's reality TV because nobody took it to the school district and said, look at this. The first thing the kids did that were filming this is they threw it up on the internet because everything is reality show. Everything. Facebook, you like posting stuff at Facebook? Their goal is by next year, you never post anything that's not Facebook Live. They want videos. They don't want links to other things. They want to keep you captured. You're your own reality show. And you're hoping to get as many eyeballs on you as possible. Because we like it. We consume it. We eat it up. Some of it's good. Some of it's okay to watch. Some of it's for the entertainment purposes of certain things. But the truth is, something like this today was as much exploitation as it was anything else. Who are you going to help that's mentally ill based on the fact that you have a former actress who is literally unrecognizable? She looks like she was wearing an older Shelley Duvall meat suit. Remember that from the movie Men in Black? It was like wearing an Edgar meat suit. She was unrecognizable. I won't play you any of the clips. At one point, though, I will tell you this. When asked about what Robin Williams, and they were good friends, when asked about Robin Williams, because she played olive oil in his Popeye, when asked about that, she said, well, he's not dead. He's just a shapeshifter. To give you the kind of idea of what it's like, that what she's going through. That's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. We, though, are the reasons we should be pissed. Because a lot of people out there are saying, you can't watch this, you shouldn't watch this, this is horrible, this is... But this is every day with the Dr. Phils and stuff, with all... This is every day. Because we eat it up. We watch Judge Judy. Right? Because we eat it up. And you're like, oh, Chad, I am not like that. That's totally different. Let me tell you where you're just like that. Just like me, I'm guilty on this one. All of us watched American Idol. It was a behemoth. American Idol was massive. And what did we like most? Oh, sure, it was neat to see the Kelly Clarksons before they were famous. And it was neat to see the likes of Daughtry and Adam Lambert. That stuff's great, right? That stuff's great. But what did we like most? William Hung. Of course, we all love him. What did we like most? Simple. We like the fact that we could watch it. We saw people come on there who believed or thought they had talent. We saw them somewhat tricked into thinking they were making it to the judges. And then we love to watch Simon Cowell and everybody laugh at them and destroy them and their dreams. Yes, they're going there and they're putting themselves out. Absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you on that. I mean, that was true. But 99% of us don't have the cojones to do something like that. Brian Dinkelman, who used to be with Ryan Seacrest in the first year of the show, there was two hosts. That's one of the reasons he left, because he didn't like the fact that the whole point was to find people who they thought would be great on television and whose story was, you know, have you ever noticed that, like, there was a compelling story of somebody that had talent and it was compelling? And then there was a story where they would literally poke fun at somebody. And it was about entertainment. That's what it was about, entertainment. Why, these people didn't know they were being laughed at until later on, but that's what it was. Let's be real for a second. The truth is, none of those people should ever have made it that far. Because they have people walking up and down the lines and they're taking quick, hey, give me something. Oh, yeah, you're good. Oh, you're horrible. Oh, you're great. No, you're great. You're great. And we love to watch them when they come out to their parents and they're looking and they're sad. And they're like, I know I can sing. I know I can. And we're like, oh, but we're not. We're laughing like, that was the worst thing I'd ever seen. And we love the fact that Simon would tear them apart and tell them how horrible they were and how right now dolphins are crying because they're so loud and cats are getting ready to cut their own heads off. It's just, we love that.
You know what? I just thought of something.
What?
That was the beginning of the snowflake generation.
It was.
Because they would always come out crying, you know, Simon don't know what he's talking about. I can sing.
And you know what? It was also guilty on the parents, too, and stuff like that. Because if you watch the show, their parents would always, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking. Well, he does know what he's talking about. And the fact that you're continuing to tell your kid that he can follow his dream when in truth he can't carry a tune in a bucket with a handle if it was taped to him, that's on them. But it was about exploitation in a way that they thought it was harmless, which it was. I mean, if you go and you decide to throw yourself off a bridge because Simon Cowell told you you're crap, again, you know, you got further than most. But, you know, Shelley Duvall today on you know, here's an actress that, you know, once I loved Popeye when I was a kid. Still remember that movie. Who doesn't like The Shining? And today she's on with Dr. Phil. As if Dr. Phil's going to diagnose you in 48 minutes and give you some sort of help, and this is supposed to spread some awareness, when in truth, it's about ratings. But that's just it. We bought into it. So we watch these things because we're a rubbernecking society. We see a crash, we turn, we look. We see a crash, we turn, we look. That's what this was today. This was a crash. This was a train crash into a plane. And yes, you can say Dr. Phil, he took an oath and he shouldn't do something like this. But you know what? When did we say to ourselves, good to watch people who are falling apart? It's good to watch that. I love documentaries. I do. I watch them all the time. I love to watch documentaries. Some documentaries are amazing to watch. And some documentaries, people just don't seem to care about. They're like, oh, you know, I watched something last night about Yemen. I just found it fascinating. But see, none of us here in America probably give a rat's ass about that. Why? Because we're never going to be in a situation like that. But this is entertaining. And that's the sad thing. We buy into this stuff. We do. And we continue to feed it. And the more we watch, the more they'll do it. And if you said, well, it's Dr. Phil's fault, if Dr. Phil left tomorrow, somebody fill his spot. It isn't until the audience leaves that it finally goes away. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. It's a Friday. It's a freaky freeballing edition of the Chad Benson Show. We'll wrap it up. Next. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Somebody texted in on the text line 323-538-2423 and said, what about Jerry Springer? And I'm like, bam. What about Maury Povich? We talk about reality TV and talk about how, you know, today Shelley Duvall going on, you know, Dr. Phil's show and just, you know, laying out to the world that she is, you know, got some mental issues and some serious issues. And we look at it not as, oh, we're trying to heal her. We look at it as entertainment. But think about that. Maury Povich. This is where we've come in life. We've got, yeah, and I think we can blame this first on Geraldo, you know, with the whole skinheads and the whole throwing and stuff. But if you really look at this, we're at a point where you've got people that fight on stage, and then you've got people who are finding out if the kid's theirs. That is just, it's what we want, right?
And the fact that they can do show after show after show after show on the paternity thing, something wrong with this country.
Something seriously wrong with this country. It is. And we watch it not because it's entertainment, not solely for that purpose. There is entertainment value. That's a big part of it. We also watch some of those shows because it makes us feel better about who we are as people. Because, oh, we're not as bad as them. Because life's a comparison. Whether you want to believe it or not, you compare everything in life. You do. So you can look and go, oh, my life's bad, but it ain't that bad. Or I'm crazy, but it ain't that crazy. Or I'm a jerk, but I ain't that kind of a jerk. What it is. Mickey Mouse turns 88 today. We're going to have him on here in a minute. Happy birthday, Mickey. I want to give you a little rundown of who Mickey Mouse is, some stuff you may not have known. First appeared in film in 1928, on this day in 1928, in a little film called Steamboat Willie. Was not his first film debut, but it was the first time it was shown. There was actually two shorts done prior to that never made it out until much later, the Galipian Gaucho and Plain Crazy. The name Mickey Mouse was actually suggested by Donald's wife. That's right. She said, hey, instead of calling him Mortimer, how about Mickey? The script for the very first short Mickey Mouse was in, called Plain Crazy, was actually done by Walt Disney when he was traveling on a train to Chicago. Disney Studios started producing somewhere on 12 Mickey Mouse shorts a year by the year 1937. Animators for the first design decided to take a lot of his movements from a man by the name of Charles Chaplin. Mickey Mouse shorts were originally silent. The first short in which Mickey actually spoke debuted in 1929. It was called The Carnival Kid. 1929, a short cartoon, The Opry House, was the first cartoon in which Mickey wore his famous gloves. In 1930, the first Mickey Mouse comic strip appeared in 40 newspapers. The comics were done by, is it UBI Works? UBI Works? I'm not quite sure if I pronounced that right. And finally, Walt was trying to figure out what the hell to call this place. He said, I'm going to call it Mickey Mouse Village. And he said, no, you know, maybe we'll just call it Disneyland. Joining us now is the birthday boy himself. He has been going long and strong for several hours. The 88-year-old, but never too old to be on the Chad Benson Show, Mickey Mouse. Hello, Mickey.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Mickey Mouse. I just want to say, hi, everybody. Chad, I love you, Chad.
I love you too, Mickey.
No, man, I love you. I'm 88 today, but I don't feel a day over 84. Hi, Phil. Hi.
Hey, Mickey, how are you?
I had a few beverages, Phil. It's my birthday.
And happy birthday, Mickey. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you, Phil. Oh my God, have you guys ever been to the Disney? Have you ever been to Epcot? Have you ever been to the Disney? Have you ever been to that place, the Disneyland? Oh my God, it's so amazing. Oh, jeez, I'm having such a good time.
Mickey, it's your 88th birthday. You're having fun. You're out partying. You're having a great time celebrating with everybody. What does this mean? 88 years as the most famous, iconic cartoon character and maybe one of the top five branded names in the history of the world.
You guys ever been to the Disney? I love you, Chad. You're my best friend. I love you. I like the Disneyland. It's expensive, though. I got a key to the castle. Oh, man, when you're picking up chicks and you tell me you got a cat, don't tell Minnie. I pick up girls. I'm like, I got a castle. No, oh, I'm
Happy birthday, Mickey. Man, he is a mess. But I get it. Look, you're 88 only once, right?
Absolutely. Find himself a nice quiet corner, please.
Quiet corner, relax. I'm sure the room is spinning. He's probably having some issues. Gonna have a few issues and just take a deep, just take an absolute deep breath, Mickey. You're gonna be, yo.
Yeah, that's not bad, Chad. I think I'm through. Hi, everybody. It's me, Mickey Mortimer. Have you guys ever been to like Disneyland? That place is expensive.
Wow. I'm gonna go over and help him here in a minute. Solid week, folks, in our new digs. Great week by Anthony and the Czar John and my man Phil. And always a great week because you guys are here. Check me out on the old intranet. The Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. At Chad Benson Show. Twitter. C-H-A-D. Wait, what?
Chad, I think I'm going to take all my clothes off now. I don't feel so naked.
Chad, we got to go, man.
We do. You guys have yourself a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.